This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this freezing Friday ENN. On the Michael K. Show, ENN, sponsored by the All-American Ford Auto Group. You already know. They have the largest selection and best prices. They're in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Go check out our friends at the All-American Ford Auto Group. I'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Coming up next on Carlin.
And good evening to Don.
I can't hold a job, Apotamus.
One of my favorite. That's one of my favorite drops of all time, by the way. Really slept on.
That is, isn't it?
Oh, I think so. I certainly think so. I mean, there's other drops, you know, should be mentioned, like
Freddie Key. I don't key you.
My name is
what?
My name is
huh?
My name is
Zach Britton.
Huh? My name is
huh?
My name is
what?
My name is
Zach Britton.
Huh? My name is
huh?
My name is
what?
My name is
Zach Britton.
I mean, Eminem dropped today, so it makes sense. So, MLB supposedly has found no evidence to substantiate the claims that the Astros wore electronic devices.
Liar!
In their sign-stealing scheme. So, obviously, now speculation is at a fevered pitch.
I love baseball.
But Major League Baseball said it explored the wearable devices during the investigation into the Astros, but didn't find evidence. Now, a lot of people are really unhappy. And let's first hear from Tim Kirkshen, who was on with SVP, who says there's going to be a lot of suspicion now from here on out.
Well, Major League Baseball has said we investigated this and there's nothing to it. Jose Altuve has come out and said, I've never worn a device on my uniform. So I grew up in a house where you don't accuse without proof.
Okay.
So I'm going to believe it. However, this is the problem, Scott. This is what we are looking forward to now, moving forward, is that somebody mentioned something like this, and these are the things we're going to be watching in every game from here on out. Is somebody doing something? Is somebody looking in the wrong place? And I'm not sure I've ever seen anybody cross home plate, like grabbing his shirt like that. It was very unusual. When you hit a game-winning homer, usually those hands are out here. He was clutched in here. And when he says, don't take my shirt off, that's a little bit unusual. But I repeat, I have no choice but to believe him at this point without solid proof.
So Major League Baseball players have taken to Twitter to express their displeasure, and Sports Illustrated kind of put it together. I'll read some of them, okay?
Please.
Clay Bellinger of the Dodgers, for the sake of the game, I hope this isn't true. If true, there needs to be major consequences to the players. That completely ruins the integrity of the game. His teammate Alex Wood said, amen, the fact that there hasn't been any consequences to any player up to this point is wild. I would rather face a player that was taking steroids than face a player that knew every pitch that was coming. Evan Longoria tweets, what happened to the term cheaters never prosper? Now, Mike Clevenger comes in hard.
Hard and high.
They shouldn't feel comfortable looking at any of us in the eye, let alone on the field, and any other Major League Baseball player feel different, they can get it too. He said, this is where throwing hard has its MF perks. So either police at MLB or I'll get back to my training. Best part is their fans still acting with the same pompous attitude those boys walked with while taking millions of dollars from boys and jobs completely, staring at the camera, carrying a bat to first. Maybe some don't get it, but this is worse than steroids. Phil Hughes said, I'm not going to make this about me because after two shoulder operations, I did not have good enough stuff at all. That said, every other pitcher out there should be furious and should feel absolutely cheated. Danny Valencia says, Houston asterisk. Danny Valencia goes on to say, these reports of cheating from the Astros are next level. What a joke. It is, in fact, 100% true that the World Series in 17 should be stripped as well as all individual awards. Don't at me. And Trevor Plouffe writes, Tom Verducci was on with Rich Eisen on his radio show. And he said it was a league-wide problem. And Danny Valencia writes, I do not agree with Tom. that what the Astros did is a league-wide problem. I played for four teams, never saw it. An overwhelming majority of guys play the game straight up. Jerry Blevins writes, it's time for the players involved to step forward. Take your lumps publicly. Your name is coming out sooner or later. Maybe there's some integrity still in you somewhere. And Trevor Plouffe really comes up. And then you ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
Can we rethink who's in the booth for Sunday Night Baseball now? One cheated the game multiple times, and the other is apparently okay with hiding the cheating. We need to start rewarding people for being polarizing.
Here's, by the way, also you mentioned earlier today the Chapman, Aroldis Chapman post on Instagram where he had the popcorn emoji on Instagram.
Right. Yep.
But in the comments, there were comments with big eyes and laughing emojis from Gleyber Torres and Aaron Judge.
Unbelievable.
As well. So everyone's weighing in on this. CeCe Sabathia was on his R2C2 podcast with Ryan Rucco. He's not happy about what happened.
17, we should have won the World Series. I don't care what nobody says. And now that this happened, nobody can ever tell me that we wasn't going to win it.
Yeah.
We should have won.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you can tell me that we weren't better than them. I don't give a what nobody says. I felt that.
Yeah.
I cried like a baby.
Yeah.
We all felt that. So it ain't no way that you could ever tell me. It's forever in my mind now. In 17, we won the World Series. I don't give a what nobody says.
Yeah.
Period.
See now.
Period.
Does it make you?
They couldn't beat us here. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just, the whole has like the way the whole. Went now, looking back at it, that.
So, yes, could be broadcasting games in delay this year?
I think R2C2, I would assume he'd handle it differently than
maybe
the Yes.
I would agree with his sentiment, except for the fact that.
The World Series.
You still have to play the Dodgers. I mean, there's no guarantee. What the Astros did was take away your chance to win a World Series. Just because if they give you that series, doesn't mean that you're the world champions. It means you would have had to play the Dodgers. Pretty good team.
Still got to play it out.
Now, the narking won't stop. Baseball's out of control. Not exactly the best look for baseball in general these days. Between the cheating and the narking, it's an absolute mess. It's in shambles at this moment. Former Cy Young winner Jack McDowell accused Tony La Russa of having a camera-aided sign-stealing operation when he was with the White Sox in the late 80s. Here's McDowell on WFNZ in Charlotte.
We had a system in Old Comiskey Park in the late 80s. Gatorade sign out in right center had a light. There was a toggle switch in the manager's office and a camera zoomed in on the catcher.
Mm.
Okay? I'm going to whistle blow this now because I'm getting tired of this crap. There's that. There was that. Tony La Russa is the one who put it in. He was also the head, the first team of all the team of people doing steroids, yet he's still in the game making $500,000, you know? No one's going to go after that. It's just the stuff's getting old where they target certain guys and let other people off the hook and, you know, like the media doesn't know that this all happened, what's going on. Everybody knows. Everybody who's been around the game knows all this stuff. Why all of a sudden it became a big thing, I have no idea.
Here's what's interesting. So he's kind of casting aspersions that the media knew. And that was also one of the narratives during the Roid era. The media knew. Yeah. And if you would have said anything, and if you had written anything, you would have gotten sued because you didn't have any proof. So who is he mad at exactly? There are guys that are is he mad at the players for getting away? He doesn't seem like he's mad
at
the players.
Seems like he's got a problem with Tony La Russa.
It's like he wants to go after Tony La Russa still having a job in Major League Baseball and being involved in these things, in McDowell's opinion. But is he mad at the Astro players for getting away with it? So who does he want to be the fall guys? Or should we just look the other way because it's been done in the past? I don't know. I don't know what he's saying there.
And also, if they did it in Chicago in the late 80s, White Sox, 87, they were 77 and 85. 88, they were 71 and 90. In 89, they were 69 and 92. Didn't work. We're talking about an Astro team that went to the World Series twice in 3 years, okay? Went to the playoffs all three of the years. So, listen, cheating's cheating. If we could prove the White Sox cheated, then they should be disciplined. But people aren't really going to notice if a 69 and 92 team is doing something illegal.
They're not cheating.
Matter of fact, keep doing what you're doing because you lose.
I don't like the idea of blaming the media. It feels like to me this is something that within baseball people all knew. I don't think the entire media knew about this. Kyler Murray says that he believes he could play in the NFL and play baseball at the same time. Told the Arizona Republic, I think I could. I would love to add that to the resume. He was, of course, drafted by the A's with the number 9 overall pick in 2018 and received a $4.66 million signing bonus, then was the number 1 overall pick in the NFL draft. The A's still hold his MLB rights.
So how do you do it? Just you won't play on Sundays? I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to remember how Dion and Bo did it. Did they not join? I'm trying to remember. Did they not join until after the baseball season was over? Did they
originally
take a knee on the final month of the baseball season?
I think they played baseball in September and then they did both. Well, I mean, it was only Dion, I think, that went to the playoffs. I don't know if Bo ever did.
But he played baseball in September. It's supposed to be skip the first four games, right?
Right.
You can't do that as quarterback.
No.
And you can't skip training camp. Dion could do that. By the way, you know, Dion's one of the greatest athletes of all time, and he wasn't quarterback. He was cornerback. Very important position, but so much of that gets made up for with just your brain and your speed. Kyler has to learn. You have to be working constantly.
The only way that it could work is if he only plays until the football season begins, and then he leaves the baseball team and joins the football.
Yeah, and what baseball team? I mean, the A's own his rights. The A's are always in contention. They want to lose what they think is going to be one of their better players for the stretch run.
Well, now, if I'm Kyler and I'm curious about it, I might try to be like, talk to the A's and say, can I try playing in the first part of the season? And then you can get a gauge. And if for some reason you're a great ball player, think, you know what? This makes more sense. It's more money. It's better for my body and I'm better at it.
It could help the gate too. I mean, I think people would want to see this. It would put the A's kind of on the map. Right? I mean, people
would be excited.
I think it could be a kind of cool story. Do the A's want to get involved in that?
But where, where are the A's minor league? I mean, spring training.
Arizona.
That's the thing I was going to ask, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so could he easily do spring training and kind of still be around where he's at, you know, and have it be an easy transition?
Yeah, but spring training is not during football. I mean,
so he's probably not living there anyway.
Yeah, but the problem is going to be in September and October.
Right. Now, what if he turns out to be one of your best players and then...
I see ya.
Forget about September. I mean, you still have to... I mean, I guess...
You know, he'd be needing to leave in August.
I mean, he's your leader of your team. How do you just not have your quarterback?
Yeah, you have to training camp as your quarterback. Listen, pick a lane, Kyler. You had a $4.75 million bonus from the A's. You could have taken that.
So Michael, to be drafted that high and get that kind of bonus.
He's really good.
He's incredible. He's like an incredible ball player.
Yeah, he's a really good baseball player. But no one ever, when he got that money and took it and was drafted, they never thought he'd be that good of a quarterback because of his size.
So they thought he'd give up.
Right. They never thought that. The A's said, okay, we'll let him. The A's should not have let him play his last year. In Oklahoma, if he doesn't play his last year, he never does what he does, and the Cardinals ever draft him.
Kyrie Irving has now spoken again on the stories out there about him sort of taking some shots at the team, saying they need more players, not seeming satisfied with the roster they currently have in place, and Kyrie's sort of defensive in his stance.
At the end of the day, I always say it's an entertainment league. You know, we're very drama filled. We, you know, everything regurgitates on all these media platforms, which is part of our society. I can't really do anything about it. You know, except really be you know, a pillar in our locker room, be very communicative, and when I'm out there with the guys, just impact winning. You know, that's really what it comes down to. You know, it's not like I'm a asshole yelling at everybody in the freaking locker room all the time, and you hear all these stories, you know. And at the end of the day, my name, it was given to me by my grandfather. I'm very grateful, but it's in a lot of people's mouths all the time, and it is what it is. I've earned that respect in terms of how great I am as a player, and there's still more goals I want to accomplish in this league, and I can't do it without improving an organization and winning a championship, and that's what it comes down to. So I'm going to continue to push. I'm going to continue to demand greatness out of myself and demand greatness out of my teammates, and we go from there. If it's harsh as a leader or it's too much for anybody, you're not in our locker room, stay the fuck out. It's as simple as that.
Okay.
I mean, none of it made sense. First of all, what he said wasn't on social media in the sense that it was said to the media. So what's the media supposed to do? Just ignore it? He said it out there. They didn't have to go into the locker room. They didn't have to scour his Twitter to get the information. He said it. Now it caused trouble, so it's automatically all the media. Blame the media.
I'm sorry. I can't figure him out. I can't figure if he's a smart guy. I can't figure if he's not a smart guy, but talks like he's a smart guy. I just don't know what he's putting out there. I don't know how players would like him. He comes off as so arrogant, and his skills are so extremely good that maybe he could get away with it. But then you look at a guy like Kevin Durant, he doesn't come off like that. LeBron doesn't come off like that. This guy comes off as, I mean, holier than thou.
Well, even the way, even adding, when you have to say out loud, I've earned that respect for being so great.
Right.
Who says that? It just doesn't come naturally. I love Kyrie as a player. Listen, I was happy when he went to Boston, but ultimately in Boston, that wasn't the role he was capable of playing.
And you never take away the big shot that he hit in the championship against the Warriors. He's a great player.
On the court, at his best, he's a Hall of Fame iconic player, but I don't know, some of these things just don't.
So when it goes well, when you say something and it goes well, it's great. When it goes bad, it's the media's fault.
And also, stay out of our locker room. No, nobody's in your locker room. You said it publicly.
Here's our own Jay Williams saying that Kyrie could be dividing his locker room.
To say that to the media then alienates the players that you did not mention. You did not mention Joe Harris. You did not mention Jared Allen, who's one of your best defenders. And this is a leadership question for Kyrie as he continues to evolve as a person, because this can make the locker room very dispersed, very separate. Everybody goes their own separate way, because now if it doesn't fit underneath what Kyrie says, then everybody else is going to do their own thing.
What hallway did they tape that?
I'm not sure. John Harbaugh has defended his quarterback Lamar Jackson's playoff record. Quote, he's 23 years old. He's younger than Joe Burrow, okay? And this was in his end of the season press conference. So he's got a pretty good head start heading into his fourth season. You know, he talks about Aaron Rodgers didn't get going until his fifth season, but really feels strongly that Lamar Jackson is fine.
Well, I think that's fair. Did you ever think for a second that he's a choke artist in the playoffs, can't handle the big moment? Or
no, they got beat. They got soundly beat. Now, I will tell you this, though.
Well, last year, I don't think he was a choke artist. I think he was terrible.
Yeah. Last year, he didn't know how to play in the NFL yet. This year, they just got soundly beat. Now, I will tell you, the hard part is this is the way the world works. Now, if they go in next year, because my guess is the Ravens will come back and be 12-4, 13-3 again.
Yeah, no, that's over now.
So if he goes in the playoffs and happens again,
then it's an issue.
Then it's a problem. So,
well, especially if you tell me that they're 13-3, 12-4. Now, if they go in and sneak in a wild card 8-8, and the team's just not very good, I want to be able to reserve judgment by what happens in the game. But if he's an MVP candidate, they're a 13-3 team by home game. And then he looks sketchy at home in the divisional round.
No point.
Now it's starting. Now it becomes a thing.
Here's a story that you might like and might surprise you, Michael. Clemson running back Travis Etienne is returning for his senior season. Surprising many people, he posted on Instagram, I look forward to earning my degree from this great university and continuing the fight with my brothers on this team to make you proud during the 2020 season. He also included a biblical quote, but yeah, this is where his heart was, and he decided to come back, said it was more important than the money.
He's going to have big insurance, obviously. I'm never going to criticize a kid for wanting to go back to school. I question, though. I mean, why would you give away a year where you could earn a lot of money? You could certainly get your degree at any time, although it's hard for people to go back and get it. And then we heard from Zion a couple of weeks ago how difficult it was for him. He did want to stay at Duke. He loved Duke. He wanted to come back for a second year, but Krzyzewski and ultimately Zion's parents said, you gotta come out. You can't risk it.
And this is obviously much more high risk.
Yeah.
Much more high risk being a running back in college football. Joe Burrow's father says that Joe would be happy to be drafted by the Bengals. I only want to care about one part of the story. Can we just get rid of the semantics? He would be happy if he's drafted by the Bengals. It's over. Is he happy that he's going to be on the Bengals? This isn't a conversation.
Well, I think he's not being presumptive that maybe the Bengals say, you know what, we want Chase Young. I mean, they probably won't.
Got to tell you that.
Or they could trade it.
I got to tell you that would be really bad for me.
Mm-hmm. And you get Joe Burrow to battle out Haskins.
I would be happy about Joe Burrow. Speaking of Joe Burrow, him and Jefferson and all the other Tigers were at the White House today.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump welcomed in the national champions.
Fast food?
I don't know if they had hamburgers and many, many French fries today. I'm not sure.
Okay.
This day in 1988. Think about it.
1988.
It's going to be a hard one. It's almost impossible. But
it's probably a Super Bowl.
Close. Probably a.
Is this the catch?
Championship. No, the catch was 81, Michael. So you were close.
Don?
Actually, it was January of 82.
How about if I flip the table over and
I would love to see you do that. This is an immense accomplishment if you were able to flip this table.
I haven't gotten into a fight since I was 12. It's okay. Time.
Here we go. 1988, kids.
Draw to Biner. Ernest Biner.
Fumble.
Fumble the ball, and Denver has recovered. Oh, my. Or have they? Let's wait for the official to unpile them.
There's a war going on under that stack.
There it is. Denver's ball at the two-yard line.
The great Enberg on NBC.
He was so good.
Phenomenal.
Merlin Olsen in there, too.
A little Merlin.
I like a little Merlin.
And
I have a broadcast trivia question. It was in the Post today. How many years do you think Buck and Aikman have worked together? And this Super Bowl, what Super Bowl is this for them?
I'm not going to we can't overthink it or then it gets stupid. You want to do math on it. The feeling I have is it's going to be longer than you think. And I bet, knowing when Aikman's career ended, they've been doing this already for 15 years.
Don.
Yeah, I'll say this is their 15th Super Bowl.
15th Super Bowl?
No, it can't be.
That's
like
ridiculous.
I'm sorry. Sixth Super Bowl.
Sixth is on the money. 18th year.
18th. That's the second Aikman retired. I guess it was the next year.
Well, like what Tony Romo did.
The second LeVar Arrington slammed him into the ground and ended his career.
That's usually how it works, right?
Yeah. If you're on the Cowboys, boom, you get the job. And by the way, that Ernest Biner story is sad. Don't forget, he went on to glory with the Washington Redskins. I loved Ernest Biner. That was not the end of the story. Him and Gerald Riggs made up a Super Bowl winning tag team in the backfield.
But that was just another heartbreaking Cleveland loss.
Another one. And on this day, in 1999.
The catch, give me a break.
Now this one hurt for a lot of football fans.
So that's a pretty good bet. If you say, do you think Gary Anderson will make this field goal? The answer should probably be yes.
39 yards away. And it's not good.
The 1998 Vikings may be the most exciting offense in the history of football. A missed field goal from one of the most reliable kickers in field goal history, and they lose.
You can't say they're the best team not to win a championship, because that would obviously be the Patriots. They were undefeated, but they have to be the best team not to go to a Super Bowl, right? 15-1, broke the record for points in a season.
And lastly, last thing on ENN.
Nobody wanted to see the Falcons go to a Super Bowl.
No, it hurt. No, the last thing we have on ENN here.
I want to be able to, okay.
More audio came out from Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah. Okay.
So
I didn't hear this, I saw it.
So yeah, this is crazy. So first of all, we already know. We know that he was drunk and climbing in the stands.
He's drunk.
We know that he tried to grab the band's megaphone. He did, and he had the megaphone wrestled away. He interrupted Ed Orgeron. He gave players money on the field. This is the audio of him at the after party, which I don't know how he even got from the Hyatt Regency in New Orleans. This is unbelievable.
Money, money, make money, money, money. Take my money, take my take, money. We're going streaking! We're going streaking through the quad and into the gymnasium. Come on, everybody. Come on. Snoop. Snoop-a-loop. Snoop. No, it's cool.
That'll do it for ENN on this Friday evening. He's Frank the Tank Ricard. That's who Odell Beckham Jr. was on Monday.
Can you do the Frank the Tank voice when he gets hit with the dart? It's so great.
But Don,
by the pool.
You think I can do it?
I think you could.
You're crazy, man.
I like you. I like you. But you're crazy, man.
You're crazy, man.
You're crazy.
I like you.
But you're crazy. I feel tired.
By the way, Ariel Helwani joining us from Las Vegas next on the other side of this.
Okay, let's look forward to that. It's good to be able to sit here and make somebody's life.
Ariel?
Yeah.
And by the way, I just want to tell you right now, if you've never heard of Ariel and you're like, I'm not even into USC, he is just one of the most entertaining phoners you'll ever have.
Well let us
just trust me. All right. And you want to talk Knicks? The man knows everything about the Knicks,
but
too.
This is like, you're setting a very high bar for guys on for
I
the
have
first
a
time.
I have fit. You
didn't know my question.
It's going to be about hockey in Canada, I'm guessing, or something.
Right. How can he not be a hockey fan growing up in Montreal?
I know.
I would also love being Canadian.
There you go.
All right. So Ariel will join us in just a moment. Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.